Hi, kids. Welcome to Bronco Land. We got some smart ones in the room.
Welcome back to the DenverBroncos.com podcast. Ben and Mace with you. And this week we wrapped up the Broncos mini camp. We're getting closer and closer to the training camp. But this week they got a little bit of a taste of that. They weren't in pads. They weren't in helmets. But that didn't mean it was a lighter practice, did it?
No, it didn't. It's interesting that they didn't wear helmets. I mean, that's one sign, of course, of how things are a bit different right now with a new regime and some new ideas, particularly what Gary Kubiak picked up from his year in Baltimore. But they were going pretty close to full speed in terms of the how fast they were moving, whether it was in an individual period, whether it was in team or 7-on-7, or just simply going from drill to drill. Guys were going going full speed.
It's funny because I wasn't able to watch like drill so much as because I was taking photos. But when I took the photos in, and I looked down on the computer, you can really see like
there's a lot of effort.
The effort, there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of guys straining. I noticed that. I took a few photos on Wednesday. I noticed that as well when I was looking back at them as guys putting a lot into what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And certainly the intensity that was there from the coaches, and there were a couple of times when Bill Kolar and Clancy Barone had to get on their guys a little bit on the defensive and offensive lines, respectively. But it was a good teaching mini camp, mm-hmm. and certainly the key veterans got individual work, but the team in 7-on-7 reps went to the younger players or guys that are not on the first team trying to work their way up, with the exception of running backs, which I thought was really interesting that. Players of every position group on offense and defense went inside after the individual periods, except for running backs. And there's a couple of reasons for that. And I talked with Capri Bibbs about this on Wednesday. One, Studisville wants his guys to see what the running backs see, working behind a tweaked offensive line, a tweaked blocking scheme. And the other reason, frankly, is because of the competition at running back. I think it's serving
it's not settled.
It's serving as a reminder that you've right now nominally you've got a Pro Bowler at the top of the heap, CJ Anderson, but really at this point, if you were breaking down the running backs, you'd have to say that Anderson and Monte Ball are kind of 1 and 1A.
Yeah,
may end up functioning perhaps like Arian Foster and Ben Tate in Houston if it works out well, but. It doesn't mean they've got it locked down. Ronnie Hillman's in the mix. Juwan Thompson's in the mix. Jeremy Stewart's in the mix. And then, the aforementioned Bibbs, I thought, had a really good week and really looks natural in that one-cut-and-go scheme behind zone blockers, I think. And a big part of that is because he ran in a similar type of offense with similar principles at Colorado State. And that's what, and he's really taken to everything like a duck to water. It's interesting that in terms of straight line speed, we all know that Ronnie Hillman is the fastest of the running back core. But I would argue that at times Bibbs looked the quickest in terms of getting from A to B. He made one cut on Wednesday where he just he's veering off to the left on a 45 degree or a 45 degree angle relative to where he started from the point he started. And then he makes a quick 90 degree cut when he sees the flow of the hole and then does a diagonal back in the other direction and just goes right on through and gets the touchdown. And I mean, that was textbook. That's how you're supposed to run in this offense. And I saw that and I commented to another member of the media that took me back 10, 12 years to, being out here on the practice field during the heyday of, the Shanahan and Kubiak years and when Dennison was on the staff, of course, as well, when zone blocking was really the trademark of this team and guys like guys like Clint Portis, Ruben Drones, Mike Anderson, Tatum Bell, to then go back even further to Terrell Davis or Orlandis Gary, guys like that, you know, they all kind of fit the template, and they all look so good and so decisive. And you saw that from CJ, and you saw that from really all the runners, or Capri Bibbs, pardon me, and you saw that from all the other runners at this point. So it's really kind of cool to see. It takes me back, makes me feel younger for a few minutes at least.
A lot of the youth getting a lot of reps out there, and Gary Kubiak kind of talked about that. He said he was looking at some of the preseason tape from last year. Not only the Broncos, but he looked at the Ravens. You know, he was the offensive coordinator there. And one of the things he noticed as he was getting deeper into the games, once the starters came out, some of those guys playing later in the games became pretty key players for them.
Yeah, and late in the games in the summer, and then late in the season, you know, when guys get hurt, those younger players were stepping up. And because this heavy veteran or heavy young player emphasis is straight out of the Ravens playbook and how they go about things, it's interesting to look at how the Ravens in recent history for the most part have played their best ball toward the end of the season. One partial exception was in 2012, and then they made a change at offensive coordinator, promoted, you know, they got rid of Cam Cameron. They brought in Jim Caldwell. And lo and behold, a couple weeks together, they put things together and then played their best ball in the playoffs and ended up winning the Super Bowl. And I'm sure Broncos fans would like to forget one part of how the Ravens got there. But success late in the year, in the postseason, that's the Ravens' MO. I mean, they've been to the postseason, six of seven years under John Harbaugh, and they've won at least one postseason game every time they've gotten there under John Harbaugh. And you know, that's something to look at. And that's a team that, like I said, plays its best ball at the end. And in part, that's because they're able to absorb the injuries and the attrition that every team endures and have guys ready to step in and play. And a big part of that is because they got those snaps right now and started learning right now, rather than being forced in, you know, whether it's in training camp or during the season. They're getting those repetitions right now. A guy, for example, who got forced into the lineup last year because of injuries, Todd Davis, the Broncos brought him as a waiver claim, of course, in November. But he's getting a lot of work with the first unit inside linebacker right now. And, obviously the continued rehab for Brandon Marshall and Dane Trevathan bears monitoring. But you're getting a sense that Davis is really improving his command and his presence in the huddle. You know, DeMarcus Ware addressed this on Tuesday. And if he has to play and play extensively, you have no doubt that he's going to be ready. And I mean, and now with Davis and then Steven Johnson, who of course proved that he could be a very good two-down linebacker. You know, we've discussed how he struggled in coverage on some third downs, particularly against Cincinnati in Week 16 last year. But you know, he's a two-down thumper, and again, he's a guy that's in reserve, but is working with the first team because Trevathan and Marshall rehabbing. And that doesn't even mention a guy like Lamine Barrow, who I thought had a really good week out there in minicamp. I'm starting to feel a lot better about the inside linebacker depth, I think, than when this whole process started. And frankly, it's because, you know, guys have been forced in. They're learning on the practice field. They're getting those extra reps, and they're improving with each repetition they have.
A lot of position competitions were shaping up, and some of them are high-profile, offensive line, safety. Mm-hmm. But some of the ones going under the radar, I think, maybe defensive line. And Sylvester Williams was another guy that DeMarcus Ware talked about,
right,
who has kind of taken ownership of the nose tackle spot. And he credits that, Ware does at least, to an increased confidence.
Increased confidence, and I think Bill Kolar is the right coach for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think every player has a different personality, and some guys respond better to certain things than others. You know, I think Sylvester maybe need a little bit of that prodding, a little bit of that kick in the butt that Kolar gives his guys. The thing with Kolar Yeah, you can hear him from 100 yards away on the practice field, and you know he's tough on his guys. But there's a universal respect for him from his players, and I think, you know, part of it is his candor, his forthrightness. I think also a lot of guys, you know, can identify with him because, and this isn't true for every coach, but Kolar being a former player who, to go way back, to go back to the 70s and early 80s, was the he was the classic guy who extracted every last drop from the skill from his skill set. I mean, when he played with Cincinnati, and he was a key part of the Buccaneers defensive line rotation when they came out of nowhere in 1979 and went from worst to first and won the NFC Central, a team that's very well thought of in one of my former towns, and that I have a team for which I have a great deal of affection, and and I think guys respond to that, and he can talk about, you know, when he was a player and how he got the most out of himself, and then he finds a way to get that out of these guys, and Sylvester just seems to be responding very well. Vance Walker is another guy who I think has responded well. I noticed
at
this
nose because they kind of talked about him at nose.
He's moving all around. He's seeing some. You know, some five tech work. He's seeing some nose work. What, and obviously it was against younger players. So you know, take it with a grain of salt. But he was really doing a good job in terms of penetrating against the run, and you know, and getting a good push and getting into the backfield this week. And again, grain of salt because of young players and also no pads. So there's only so much you can do. But I thought Vance Walker had a really good week out there. I think most guys are responding. Darius Kilgo, I saw make some plays and get into the backfield. And I was studying him during the individual periods as well. A lot quicker and more agile than I expected. That's a real positive sign. I mean, a guy who's 320, 325 shouldn't be able to get his knees up as high, you know, in the bag drills as he can. So you know, we'll see how that translates when they put on full pads and go full contact. But he's shown some promise as well.
And to wrap this up real quick, the last competition I wanted to talk about was punter, which kind of came out of nowhere when they signed Carl Schmitz, who last played football when Obama was elected, I think. First elected.
Yeah.
2008, I think, when he played for Jacksonville. So
that's Jacksonville University, the Dolphins. That's not the Jaguars.
Not the Jaguars.
That's a non-scholarship FCS program that he played for, and so obviously non-scholarship means he was paying his own way to play for the Jacksonville Dolphins. But you know, he's one of the best stories on the team. He's a Bermudan. Mm-hmm. So he's a British. He's technically a British national because Bermuda is a British overseas territory. After being at Jacksonville, he ended up finishing his undergraduate work at the University of Missouri St. Louis, home of the Rivermen, and not home of a football team. He worked at his father's restaurant, a restaurant that's in their family. He helped. He managed it. He tended bar, kind of did whatever needed to be done. And a typical night for Carl Schmitz was, you know, working bar at the, I believe it's the Barcelona Tapas restaurant in St. Louis, and then going to over to Clayton High School, and he would go to their football field. He'd turn the lights on, headlights on his car to get a little illumination and practice his drops on his punts. And he did that for years, but he would go to kicking camps. He went to one in particular that's run by Mike Hollis, former Jaguars kicker, and started getting on some radars with some good performances at kicking camps, and that led to the tryout here, and he shows up, and you know, he's having his tryout, and John Elway's there watching him, and obviously did well because he got a contract. And his absence from football, I think it has made the transition a little bit bumpy. Jody Camilla, special teams coach, mentioned this on Thursday that, you know, as far as like getting lined up and getting the punts placed and everything like that, there was a little work that needed to be done. But then I think the most interesting comment was he said in Thursday's practice that Schmitz and Colquitt were even. And it's important to view the punting competition in the context of the kickers in general. DeCamillis has said multiple times, mentioned this last month, reiterated on Thursday, that and my obnoxious text message notification, as my wife would say.
Anyway,
DeCamillis has mentioned that he wants to keep
one kicker
and one punter. And of course, last year, as you recall, the Broncos had a place kicker, Connor Barth, kickoff specialist Brandon McManus, the former place kicker who got released, brought back to the practice squad, and then was back on the 53 because Barth struggled on kickoffs. And then Britton Colquitt at punter. So one of those guys is going to do double duty. It's just a question of who. So frankly, the kicking competition between Connor Barth and Brandon McManus could have an impact on the punting the punting competition as well, because if McManus beats out Connor Barth, then that may hurt Carl Schmitz's chances, and they may go with Colquitt. But if Connor Barth is clearly doing better on place kicks, then that may enhance Carl Schmitz's chances. The big thing for Schmitz, obviously he delivered in a pressure-packed workout, and he's doing better. And boy, oh boy, I mean, the ball just explodes off his foot. And the thing I noticed is that he's got a very easy, almost effortless delivery with it. And he was, didn't seem like there was a lot of strain. He's just uncorking one 55, 60-yard blast after another yesterday. That was really impressive to see. But the thing for him is going to be when the lights go on. Whether it's 4,000 people on the hillside for practice, or 65,000 screaming fans in Seattle for the preseason opener, and Seattle takes every game seriously, including the preseason. That's when you want to see what Schmitz can do. I think that's going to tell the tale on whether he can make a charge for the job or not. And certainly, I think Britton Colquitt, I mean, being a veteran, I think he hasn't really had competition before for the punting job. I think he's going to respond to that as well. So that's going to be one that's under the radar, but I don't think it's going to be under the radar once we get into camp. I think that's going to be something we all study very closely.
Well, we'll be reaching that pretty soon here. Before we know it, we'll be at training camp. That's going to be so exciting. I can't wait for it. Getting back to
football. It's your first full camp, isn't it?
Because you came in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So I'm ready. Yeah, I can't wait to follow along with all the competition. And
it's busy, but it's fun. I love the start of training camp. Admittedly, you get about 6-7 days in, and a little bit of monotony sets in, both for writers and for players as well. But I think this is going to be interesting. And also, we're going to see more of these days where a lot of young players get the repetitions. Kubiak mentioned Thursday, like a guy like Owen Daniels is going to probably be off once every 3 days, and that he's going to take that philosophy with other veterans. So, I mean, you come out to practice, and yeah, maybe you won't see Peyton Manning, but you'll see other guys that are the future of the team. And I think if you're a hardcore fan and a hardcore follower of the game, you take as much appreciation from seeing some of the guys that you don't know as the ones that everybody knows.
Well, I'm ready for at the start. Mace, thanks for joining us. We are going to have another segment here with our two new correspondents, so hang tight. So now we have with me our two new correspondents, Allie Raymond.
Hello.
Christine Williamson.
What's up?
I've noticed that y'all are taking ownership quite quickly of your roles, and you're really installing some really creative additions to the website. And I wanted to kind of talk about those and let our listeners, readers kind of understand what y'all have decided to add to the website. I'll go ahead and start with Allie. The squeeze is a thing that you've kind of started up.
Yes.
And it's been a big hit. Over one weekend from the first one, it was one of our top performing pages. What is the squeeze?
So the squeeze is just like a kind of a grouping or a compilation a bunch of different things, maybe off the field or on the field. Just kind of what Broncos fans need to know, maybe heading into the weekend or on Monday, or it just kind of goes into detailing about maybe something that the players are doing off the field, like, you know, DeMarcus Ware went on a Celebrity Family Feud. And
love Family Feud.
Got to love Family Feud. And then Owen Daniels.
One second. Do we all love Family Feud here?
I love Family Feud.
Yes.
Yes.
Steve now, Harvey.
Steve Harvey is everyone's favorite? Or
yes.
I love Steve Harvey. Yeah.
The guy before him was awful.
I don't remember the guy before him.
He was like the guy on... he was the guy on like... Was it... What was it?
Was it Jim Carrey? No.
No. It was like... Tim the Toolman Taylor. Do you remember Home Improvement?
Oh. Yeah.
So... It was like one of the guys on that show. Just terrible. Like Steve Harvey's great because
he's
amazing.
Yeah,
he reacts. And
exactly, I was gonna say he's funny with his reactions.
Yes, mm-hmm. He's perfect. He's always on point with his reactions.
Yes,
the guy before him, who I'm not really sure what
completely
his name
disconnected.
Is. He just couldn't have fun with it.
Yeah.
Well, Steve Harvey's great because you can go on YouTube and you can look up just like the best, like his best reactions or the best answers, because I think he really makes it. Like, it's so great.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he makes that show. Like, if you look up like just Family Feud, you're going to find 99% him and then maybe like one of the older hosts.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, he's the best host that show has mm-hmm. ever had.
Yeah. And
I mean, I just watched the show.
And I already know, because DeMarcus was talking about one of the questions was that he got... that
we're going
to
get a little risque here.
what was it? What is
what
one...
What do men name after themselves?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like and that. You just know what Steve Harvey's reaction is going to be to that question.
He's going
to
have a... He's going to go wide-eyed. He's going to just, like, stare and then, like, turn to the audience... Or turn to the cameras.
Like, oh, you know. I know what you're thinking.
This is a family show. That's what he's going to say. Something like that.
And the number one answer, should I give it away?
Sure. Well, yeah, why not?
Your son.
Yeah.
Son or
that
daughter.
Makes
yeah.
sense.
Perfect sense.
I can't believe people would suggest anything different that might be unfriendly for...
Untoward.
For young audience members. Mm-hmm. Richard Karn was the other host I was thinking of, the terrible one. He was
wouldn't
really
even
bad.
Know. When did his
what was his stint?
Yes, his stint.
Let's see. I got to go to his IMDb here. I don't think it was very long though. Richard Karn, there he is. 3 years. That's a long time. 3 years as host of. Huh?
That's long.
I wouldn't say that's very long.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Maybe in comparison to how long... yeah, he was from... Oh, my God, yeah. From Home Improvement.
Yeah.
That face.
Much better in Home Improvement than in Family Feud.
Yep.
Sorry.
It's been decided.
Sorry, Richard Karn. I don't like you very much in Family Feud. You're probably a good guy. Well, to go back to the squeeze, what was something that... One of your favorite things that has come out of, you know, kind of trying to... Follow along as the players have obviously some cool adventures, especially DeMarcus Ware, who
yeah.
seems like he's always traveling somewhere across the world.
I liked the Owen Daniels. I love that backstory that he majored in like meteorology at University mm-hmm. of Wisconsin, and he is like a huge fan of just like the weather, and he went and did some stuff on the Weather Channel, and he had those Nike foams with the mm-hmm. radar returns on them, which I thought was actually pretty awesome. So I liked doing that. That was fun to see. And then, of course, Von Miller talking about his love for chickens. That was great. Got a little Vine in there talking about how he's just, you know, a good old boy from Texas who wants to buy himself some chicks and raise chickens. So that backstory was really awesome. It's just... Little things like that that maybe you wouldn't see. And we find a lot of it off of Twitter and like what's going on and what the guys are posting. And we just try to boost them up a little bit.
Yeah. Sometimes like we do those kind of profile stories where you kind of get like a little insight into who they are from their Twitter account. But when you see something just pop up, you can't really just run a story like, you know, CJ Anderson goes bowling. But with the squeeze, we can
exactly
kind of put them all together and give people, you know, a little bit of what these players like to do, and maybe some coaches too.
Yep.
Wade Phillips, pretty active on Twitter, I think. I'm not sure if he still is, but I remember him maybe like a year ago.
Yeah, I think he's kind of calmed down.
Yeah. He's got a good Twitter. I don't know how many people
his
age run great Twitter accounts. But he's very
he's savvy on the Twitter.
Yes, very savvy, very outgoing. So Twitter really fits him.
Mm-hmm.
Now to head over to Christine, you've been working on our Snapchat game.
I have been working on the Snap game. Snap game is so serious right now.
It's on fleek.
It's on fleek.
Mm-hmm. I don't really get on fleek. Like, I know where it came from, but...
The vine that it came from?
Yeah.
That girl?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it means.
Why did that take off?
Because people like the word fleek.
Fleek. But didn't originally it just mean, like, eyebrows?
Fleek. Well, she just said her eyebrows were on fleek. But then people were like, my shoes are on fleek. My hair is on fleek.
My hair's on fire.
On fleek in general.
Okay. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
You had the opportunity to go to the media car wash thing the other day with all the, like, Madden. Madden was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is it called a car wash?
Because
they
you
get
go
to
from
go
one
different places.
Oh, yeah. Okay, because I was like, I did not go to a car wash. I was the wrong person. I'm like, that's not me.
Why are you following me around in my car?
Like, but because I did go to a car wash last weekend, and I'm like, wait, what?
I'm following
like,
all
how did you know I watched
of our
car
staff members in their cars.
Alert yeah, everyone, so Ben Swanson.
I went over there.
Major
that was a lot
creep.
Of fun.
Yeah, what was that like?
Well, first
so
of all.
So it's in the indoor.
It was in the indoor facility mm-hmm. over there.
Which is enormous.
Yeah, it was really big. They got to take pictures and do all those little video things that they do for the networks. But also,
mm-hmm.
I am going to be in the Madden game because they
yeah.
scan my face. Like, I walked up to them and I'm like, hey, I'm on the team. I need a picture. And they were like, okay, sit down. And in my mind, I'm like, guys, I'm not really on the team. Thank you. I have heels on and I'm a female. I know I'm bald, but I'm a female. And they were like, okay, yeah, we know. And I was like, okay. So they scanned my face. I had to sit there for like 30 seconds. They scanned my face. They took a bunch of pictures. The things started flashing in my face. And then they made me sign a waiver. And I'm like, wait, what am I signing the waiver for? And they said that they use people's faces on other things that aren't players. So I might be in the game.
So this is for like this coming.
Yeah.
Wow. That's yeah. like coming out in like a couple months.
Exactly.
We could see the returns on that very
yes.
soon.
Yes, in the game.
Oh my gosh. It's going to queue to the stadium and the fans. And there's Christine.
And I'm going to be like, hey guys.
There's gonna be like a this thousand of you.
Me.
Like,
it's just all these bald heads.
All these my same face.
They put wigs awesome. On you.
Exactly.
I'm kind of excited. I don't have an Xbox or anything, but I might have to buy one just
you
for this.
You have to get one just so that you can get my Madden game. It's
yeah.
mine.
It's now personally. You're gonna be on the cover, right?
I'm gonna be
yes.
on the cover. They're using my likeness.
God, I'm really afraid for the.
Everybody go
curse.
On Twitter and vote for Christine's cover.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Ooh, I hope you don't break a leg or anything like
I
that.
Know. I know.
That would be kind of scary.
That'd be awful. Actually, I don't want to be on the cover as long as I'm in the game.
What if you're on the back cover?
I can be on the back cover.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
I'm sure that'll work.
Yeah.
Snapchat, though.
Yeah.
I don't have Snapchat.
Okay, so this is the
I'm
thing.
Sorry. Is this...
It's
I don't
bad.
Understand
it's bad that you don't
it.
Have Snapchat. I've had Snapchat for... Since I was in Miami, so like almost 3 years now.
Yep.
But the thing about Snapchat is, first of all, I consider myself, personally, Snapchat famous. Because... I am. So
this is
there
very
we go. Solid
confident.
Reasoning.
This is
I am Snapchat famous.
This
and
is confidence bordering on I don't want to say arrogance, but
listen, if you're Snapchat famous, if you got it, you gotta flaunt it. You feel me? So anyways, I am Snapchat famous and this is how I've like gauged that is because like my friends that follow me on Snapchat, mm-hmm. if when I'm around them they tell their friends that are strangers to me that they need to follow me on Snapchat, I consider that Snapchat famous.
Okay.
So that's why I'm Snapchat famous, and that's why I'm in charge of the Snapchat for the Broncos right now, okay? But yeah, it's a lot of fun because you can
well,
do,
you're very creative, and
you
do some
doodle.
Cool visual stuff.
Doodle.
Yeah.
You can do cool visual stuff. You can, you know, put music on it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you play music from your phone and then record the video, it records the music as well. It's really cool. Really cool. So you can, like, theme... Mm-hmm. your snaps. So like the other day it was Ben's birthday and
not my birthday.
Oh Benny. Yeah. It's not, it wasn't your personal birthday. It was Benny's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put the ghost shorty 50 Cent. Birthday for like a little happy birthday snap for Ben. What else have we done? We've done a lot of cool contests with fans.
Yeah. I saw this like a best of the week, right?
Yes, which we're actually, I need to put out sometime soon for this past week. But
what's the coolest thing you've gotten?
Oh my gosh, this person. Okay, so the thing about Snapchat is like, it's on an iPhone usually. So like the canvas is pretty small, you know?
Yeah.
You can use a stylus.
Unless you have a 6 plus.
Yeah, unless you have a 6 plus. But some people that like draw really intricate drawings, they use the iPad. So they're kind of cheating, but when you think about it.
But it's really cool.
Oh my goodness. So I think this one person
I don't think that's cheating. That's just...
It's just, you have like a Lego.
You made the investment in the iPad. You get to have that advantage.
That's true. So this one person drew Peyton, and this looks awesome. Isn't that a great caricature?
It's something.
It's pretty.
It's kind of like, terrifying, to be honest.
It looks like him, though, right? Like, okay, think about when you draw. Like, okay, so Snapchat, like, usually, like I said, you can use a stylus, but usually people use their fingers.
Yeah.
And then also, like, you can't get this intricate, really.
It's kind of frightening.
Snapchat.
I'm gonna be honest.
I love
it.
He's... But does that not look like him? Like a caricature.
Kind of looks like him.
See? Yeah. Now, see, then you get stuff like. What else do we got? Like, some stuff doesn't really look like... the thing is, that looks like Peyton. Usually stuff that we get of Peyton doesn't really look like even a human. Like, this does not look like a human being. It looks like a cartoon.
It looks like he's falling.
Exactly. So that's not a good... Like, necessarily as good. So when we get stuff like that, that's really cool. Some people put emojis on the bodies, which I think is fun.
I like it.
We get a lot of selfies. And you know what? I thought I was going to get a lot of weird snaps, which we do get occasionally, but they're not that bad. They're not as bad as I thought. I have blocked a couple people just because they just sent me weird
laying
stuff.
Down the law.
But
sometimes
you
got to do it.
You got to do it sometimes because I don't want to see weird things.
I used to manage a blog, and I know the feeling of bringing down the ban hammer.
Do you tell them?
You have to.
Do you warn people?
Oh, no. See, the thing about Snapchat, though, is you have to add the person as your friend before you can block them.
Oh.
So they probably...
So we've made some bad decisions.
No. So, like, okay, so... People can, on Snapchat, people can automatically add you. You don't have to add them back. But in order to block them, you have to add them back. You know, because they're not friends.
That seems silly.
That
so
seems
it's
like
kind
an
of awkward,
unnecessary step.
Right?
They're like,
kind
oh my
awkward.
God, they're following me.
Yeah,
and then
and
no.
the next thing you know, the Broncos are nowhere to be found.
Ouch.
So, like, there have been a couple people where I'm like, yeah, you're annoying. Or, yeah, that's inappropriate. And then I'll be like, I don't want to see this every time you send me a snap.
Yeah,
so
inappropriate.
Not.
I imagine, like... Managing brand social accounts can just be like, just awful.
Yeah. You just got to delete some stuff.
Yeah.
There are rules, okay? There are ethical rules that people have to
There
follow.
Are ethical rules about interacting with just human beings.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You would not do that. If I was walking down the street, you wouldn't do that to me as
right.
a human.
Yeah.
So don't do that to me.
Yeah.
People hiding
there
behind
There are people
their cell
behind
phones.
These accounts.
Exactly.
That's the main purpose of the social spotlight. Not just to say, here's what's going on social, but
Hello.
don't tell Scott mean things.
We're human beings.
Don't text him bad things.
Exactly.
I remember my first awful mean comment I got on social media when I was running an account when I was in college, and I was really proud of this tweet, and somebody like tweeted back at me and said, worst tweet ever.
Oh, that's not that bad.
That's really not that bad.
I was so hurt.
That's really not that bad.
Yeah. You do a lot worse. So I think you've been here, what, 2 or 3 weeks now?
This is my
third?
Second?
Second week. No. This is my second week.
Yeah. So, my third. Yeah.
Okay. How have you all been enjoying it?
Legit.
It's pretty cool.
Too legit.
I am currently a Broncos fan.
You were not before.
I was not
She's
previously.
Been converted.
It's pretty easy to get converted, I find.
I mean, it's not like I had any NFL allegiance anyways, so it's like...
It's in the air.
See, I was originally a Panthers fan, and I still am. I still pay attention to them.
Yeah. I'm still a little bit of a Chargers fan. I follow them on Twitter to an extent, but...
But there's like game days where... Like, so like the first game day, home game day that I covered, before it, I was with my girlfriend picking up a bike she was buying off of Craigslist. And so from there, she was just going to drop me off at the game. And there's like all these cars that are like decked out. Like I saw this one bus and it was just like orange and blue and it was really cool. And I was like, I'm in a completely different world over here.
Yeah, it's intense. I'm kind of excited. I like when people are like that. I like really, because I went to University of Miami for undergrad and people, you know, you have your diehard fans, but it wasn't really crazy. And then when I went to Clemson.
Miami had some downtime.
Yeah. Well, but even so, like, it's not like Clemson's football team was that wonderful, but yet our fan base
Death Valley, right?
Insane, yes.
Yeah.
Insane. It was the best, like, game days there were the best days of my life.
Yeah. Arkansas was pretty nuts.
Yeah.
And we weren't great last season. Yeah. So,
that's UNC basketball.
Or Kansas basketball.
I've been to a couple of UNC basketball games.
Kansas, I don't know about
and that. And I would have to say.
Wait, you've been to where?
Some UNC basketball
games. Oh, yeah?
I have a friend that plays for. Currently for the Tar Heels.
Cool.
So I went to
men's or women's basketball.
Men.
Okay.
So I went to a couple of games last season, but sorry, but Duke basketball games are the most amazing games ever.
I'm not gonna lie, I went to one like was it last year, something like that. So much fun.
Not like Allen Fieldhouse, but
Cameron Indoor.
It's it's almost like the size of a high school gym.
Yeah, no, it's literally
and they
that's
just,
why it's yeah.
And like so every. Every sight line is pretty good because it's pretty steep once you get into the upper levels. Yeah. And it's got like this kind of neat, like the ledge at the bottom is like wood and it has all this brass like piping and stuff like that. And it's just like a cool, really intimate atmosphere at those games.
It definitely is on the bucket list. I mean,
but on the other hand, UNC's is just like the complete opposite.
It's huge.
Enormous. It's like 23,000 people. And, yeah, I mean, that kind of says it all. It's bigger than NBA arenas. It's just gigantic. So you get different stuff if you go to those two games on Tobacco Road.
Exactly.
Tobacco Road.
Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast this week. We'll have you on sometime soon, I'm sure.
Thank you
I know
so
you're very excited.
Yes. So excited.
I'm so excited
to be back on the podcast.
That you want
to
so welcome excited. Us back eventually, yeah.
So... we'll leave our listeners here, and we'll be back with y'all next week.